Well, we're going to wrap up the series in the book of Proverbs, and I hope that you all have enjoyed it. I hope it's been beneficial to you, and I want to encourage you to not let this be an only reading of the book, that you will take Proverbs and it will become something that you make a part of your life, that you will read it chapter a day and continue to glean the wisdom that we have here. So if you would, stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2, Proverbs 4, 1 and 2. It says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to be able to gather together as your people, to worship you, Lord, and now to learn from you and celebrate the things that you've done around us and in us and through us, Lord. And we thank you for the Word of God that we have, the very voice from heaven that speaks to us, Lord, through your inspired Word, that we can hear you and that we can know what you would have us to do. And I pray that you give us ears to hear and a mind to believe and a heart to receive and a will to obey you today. Help me, Lord, to preach plain and clear. I do understand the judgment of my life and rightly dividing your Word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as we look at the book of Proverbs, and we've been looking through this over the last few weeks, I want to talk about the way of wisdom, the way of wisdom. Okay. As we look at this, we're going to kind of just reflect a lot on a lot of things we talked about in the last few weeks and have it kind of culminate together and what we're to do with it. And so I want to bring a few key words out to your attention here. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 4 where it says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instructions." Hear. Underline that in your Bible if you have it open, the word hear. Because if we're going to walk in the way of wisdom, if wisdom's going to be a part of our life, the first step to that is that we've got to hear it. We've got to hear wisdom. And if you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll notice that all through the book of Proverbs, it calls us out to hear, to pay attention, to be attentive, to incline our ear. So we have other verses like Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "Let the wise what? Hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." Proverbs 1:8. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Chapter 8, verse 33, it says, "Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it." 23:19, "Hear, my son," you're getting it, okay, we're almost there. You getting a key phrase coming up? "Hear, my son, and be wise and direct your heart in the way." 19:27, now this is said in the negative way, "Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." And so the first step in gaining wisdom and walking in wisdom, living out wisdom, is we have got to hear wisdom. We've got to seek wisdom. We've got to ask for advice. We've got to go to God's Word and hear what He says for us to do and try to seek out godly counsel. Now, Maybe this happened to you as a kid, maybe now as an adult you're experiencing it with your kids, but there's times when maybe you saw the mouth of your parents move and words came out, but for some reason you didn't hear it. You know, it's kind of like, "Clean your room." And I don't know, it went in one ear, just right out the other. I mean, it's just, I don't know how that happened, right? It's like, anybody ever experienced that? Right? Like, you hear, but you don't hear. Right? You hear it. Like, I know when I speak, words come out of my mouth. But for some reason, maybe, I don't know, is it lost in translation? Did I start talking a different language? Did they not comprehend? And so a lot of times when we hear, we have to be willing to listen. We hear it, but just don't let it go in one ear and out the other. We have to hear and gain insight and gain knowledge and gain information, ask advice, read up, study, plan, seek all this information out. Look at the Word of God. What's God saying? What's He telling me to do? How am I supposed to live? What's my next step? I listen, I hear it, and I need to also do the next thing. I need to hold on to it. I've got to hear instruction. I've got to be willing to listen and hear it, and I've got to hold on to it. Look at verse 3 of chapter 4. It says, "When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother." Let me just pause right here. Let me do a teachable moment for the life of our church. You ready? Parents, if you have children or youth, you are the primary teacher and instructor of the children of your home. This is a wisdom, this is a man reflecting back on when he was a son and his father and his mother instructed him and taught him and poured into him. You are responsible for the spiritual development of your children. You're the primary responsibility. You, not the church, you. Okay, we have children's programs, we have children's classes, we have youth programs, we have youth groups, we have different meetings, and we come alongside you to help, okay? We're not the ones responsible for making sure that your kids grow up in the ways of the Lord. We come alongside to help you. You need to model out the faith in your home. You need to instruct your children in the home. You need to teach your children the things of God. You need to model that in your life. So you set the example. You set the tone. You are the primary responsible person to develop the spiritual development of your child. And the church comes alongside to help. Amen? So are you investing in that in your children? He says, verse 4, "He taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live.'" Notice key action verbs there. Hold and keep. He says, "Let your heart hold fast my words and keep my commandments and live." That I've got to treasure God's word. I've got to treasure wisdom. I've got to hold fast to wisdom. I've got to hear it and I've got to hold on to it. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1 says, "My son, if you receive my words and what? Treasure up my commandments with you." Proverbs 7 verse 1 says the same thing. "My son, keep my words and what? Treasure up my commandments with you." That I treasure God's wisdom, that I hold it close to my heart, that I believe that what the wisdom of God says to me is for my good. Okay? I'm given sound advice. I'm given things that's actually going to help me. One, it's going to help me know the Lord, and two, it's going to help me live my life. And if I know that I'm getting good godly advice and it's sound wisdom and it comes from God and it's wisdom and I hear it, I've got to treasure that and say, this is good for me. This is good. And if I follow this, it'll place me on the right path. Which brings us to the third point, heed. If we hear it and hold it, but we do not heed it, it does us no good. True? If I know what I'm supposed to do, and I believe in my heart that what I'm supposed to do is good and right, but I don't do it, it does me absolutely no good. Agree? Because some of you and some of us, all of us, at one point in time, we've done this. I know this is what I should do. But, you've done it too, but I'm going to do this instead. Huh? How many of you have ever done that? I know this is what I should do, but this is what I'm going to do. That's not wisdom. And so when we read the book of wisdom, all through the book of Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom, when we read the book of Proverbs, we're given wisdom and a layout of two paths. There's the wise path and there's the foolish path. And we got to ask ourselves, which one am I? Am I the wise person or am I the fool? And the goal of wisdom is to point out both paths and lay those before you and say, look, here's the bad choices, here's the foolish path, and if you follow this path, here's what's going to happen to you. Here's the wise path, and if you follow these steps, here's what's going to happen to you. Which one will you take? And my prayer is, and my hope is that I, along with you, will choose the wise path. Amen? So let's continue to read here where it says, verse 5, chapter 4. So we hear it, we hold on to it and treasure it. In verse 5, it says this. What? Get wisdom. That's something you got to go do. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. This is wisdom personified. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. Love wisdom, and she's going to watch over you. Make the right choices. You're going to have good consequences. The beginning of wisdom is this. You ready? Get wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom and get insight. And whatever you get, make sure you get insight. Get wisdom and know how to apply that wisdom. And then apply it. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. You see that? This is the way of wisdom. You heed wisdom, you follow wisdom, you do things the way that you're supposed to do, and she's going to reward you. There'll be blessing, there'll be great, great rewards. Hear, my son, verse 10, and what? Accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Now, that's a good path, isn't it? How many of you all want for your children a path where they will succeed in life? Right? We all want that. Kids, when your parents give you advice, if you've got good, godly parents and they're giving you advice to help you, listen to them because they want to see you do well. They want to see you succeed. They want to see you be successful. They want you to go and make something of yourself. They want you to go and become something and someone that's productive to the kingdom of God and everyone around them. Okay? So listen, heed. The book of Proverbs is wisdom from God that says, hey, I want you all to succeed. I don't want you to walk in darkness. I don't want you to walk down the wrong path. I want you to walk down the correct path. And if you walk down the correct path in life, it'll be good. And you'll avoid some of the pitfalls in life because there's two ways that we can learn, isn't there? We can learn from our own experience or we can learn from other people's experience. And how many of y'all realize that it's much easier on you if you learn from other people's experience, right? That's much easier, right? They go down a wrong path and you see them make very foolish decisions and you're like, oh gosh, I don't want to end up on that path, right? That's a lot easier. If you can avoid making mistakes by learning from other people's mistakes, that's called wisdom. But some of us do this. Some of us, you see it, and you see people go down the wrong path, and you see them make a wrong decision, and then the decision presents itself to you. The moment of decision comes to you with the same opportunity that you just saw maybe your friend or somebody you work with go down the wrong path, and it went to a dead end, and you are deceived because you think, you know what? I don't think it'll end that way for me. Because you're always the exception to the rule. Huh? Because we're special. Right? I mean, we always have it figured out. I mean, we've got it better than, yeah, I mean, I can still make that decision, but I can get a different result. No, It's called the principle of the path. The path you walk takes you to your destination. Right? And so the book of Proverbs is like this wonderful map. Right? Now, if you can imagine, kids, back in the 1900s, way back in the 1900s, when we had things called maps, that was not on a phone, there's no Google in front of it. It was an atlas, and it was about this big, giant, ginormous book that you'd open up, and you'd plot out your destination, and you would look at the interstates you're going to take, and you would, if you were going on vacation somewhere, you'd open up, you'd get a map out, and you'd mark it out, and you would mark and chart your destination by what interstates I'm supposed to go to and all that. And if you followed the map and you paid close attention and you drove in wisdom, guess where you ended up at? Your destination. Because let me tell you, don't be deceived, it is about the destination. Okay? Because we have people in our culture today, we like to say, oh, it's the journey. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. No, it's about the destination. Because if you end up in hell, you ain't going to be happy. You better know you're going to heaven. You can experience a journeyful life all you want to, but if it doesn't end up in heaven, you've missed it. It is about the destination. So if you're planning a trip to go to Florida, and you go down, you get up on 75 and go north, you're not getting there. I don't care how sincere you are in thinking you're going to get to Florida. I don't care how many adventurous escapades you have and how great of a journey it is. You're missing your destination. And so if you want to experience life, you must follow God's path, which leads to God. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Got to start there. You got to start there. Proverbs, it goes on to say, when you walk, where are we at? Verse 13, that's right. Keep hold of instruction, do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of the evil. There are some paths you avoid in life. Amen? You don't have to walk down every path to say, oh, I wonder what that's like. No, you don't have to experience every single thing in life. There's some things you don't want to experience. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise become wise, but he who walks with fools suffers harm. You have to be careful on who you do life with. Avoid it, it says. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. There are some things you just pass on. There are some invites you don't RSVP. There are some things you just don't go to. There are some places you don't go. There are some people you don't walk with. It's called wisdom. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous, look at this. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. And the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. See that? There's two different paths. There's God's path that is lit by his light, and in it you will not stumble. And then there's the foolish path that is darkness, and you trip and fall and find yourself in trouble. So as we look through the book of Proverbs and we look at what does it mean to walk in wisdom? What does it mean to walk in wisdom? What's the way of wisdom? Well, the way of wisdom is a person who walks with the Lord. This morning, If you have never trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you have never come to the point where you said, Lord, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I can't make it to heaven on my own. I can't make it. I cannot make that trip. I cannot make that journey without you. I need you, Lord. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Save me. If you've never called upon the Lord, if you've never trusted in Jesus, then you'll never get on the right path. It won't matter how successful you are. You might be successful in this world. You may get a good job, have a great education, make a lot of money, live in a nice home, drive nice cars, be influential in the community. But if you don't know Jesus, your destination doesn't end in heaven. It ends in destruction. Jesus said it this way, what good does it profit if a man gains the whole world but yet forfeits his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So if you want to walk on the wise path, you must have a relationship with the Lord Jesus and submit to him, and he must be Lord of your life. If you haven't done that this morning, guess what? He's going to speak to your heart. He's going to give you an opportunity to come and say, save me, and he will. So we walk with the Lord. The way of wisdom walks with the wise, walks with wise people. If you're hanging around people that's constantly trying to get you to do things, say things, go places that's not good for you, you got to stop. You got to stop. And that's not just for teenagers and college kids, because there's a lot of mischief. There's a lot of things that people invite you to and become a part of that can get you into trouble. But also as adults. Guys, if you got buddies of yours that like to go around and carouse and go out to different places, hey, it's just Friday night, let's go out, let's have a good time, you know, let the wife watch the kids, and let's go to this, and you know that it's headed to a place that it's not good, don't go. If you're around people, it's always bad-mouthing their wife, talking about it, just that's not a good person to hang around with. Because he who walks with the wise becomes wise, and he who walks with fools suffers harm. The way of wisdom walks with righteousness. We stay clear from sin. And we live a life of high morals and standards. And there's some things that we've got to avoid. There's some things that we just don't want to do. There's just some things that just wisdom says, don't do it. There's some things that the Bible says, flee from it. Right? Sexual immorality. I mean, I don't know. Can I vent just for a moment? We live in a confused world, right? I mean, we live in a society that tries to blur the paths, that says there is no right path and wrong path, that it's just, there's just paths. And I get so sick of hearing about all this confusion that's polluting the minds of our kids of gender identity crisis. God made them male and female. In the likeness of God, he made them. Okay? If you're a boy, you're a boy, not a girl. And we have this confusion, and I'm afraid this deception that has come in, not just into our culture, but into our church world, where now we're accepting things that we never would have dreamed of. Sexual immorality is an abomination to God across all boards, okay? Homosexuality is not an acceptable lifestyle. I mean, someone wants to live that lifestyle, they can live that lifestyle. But it's not acceptable to God. It never has been and never will be. Just like you going around sleeping with everybody is not acceptable either. Or cheating on your spouse. Or getting on the internet looking at things you're not supposed to. Huh? I'm preaching whether you want to hear this or not. There's some things you avoid. There's sin. The way of wisdom walks in righteousness. We walk in the righteousness of God. We please Him. We seek to honor Him. There's some things we just need to avoid. There's some things we don't do. There's things that we do as a believer, and there's things that we don't do. And some things we just got to use some wisdom and say, we don't ask ourselves, is this sin? Sometimes the question is this, not whether it's right or wrong, or is it the wise thing to do? Because here's what we like to do. Well, does it say anything in the Bible that I can't do it? And so let's just take, our culture's trying to say marijuana doesn't hurt you if you smoke it anymore, and if you smoke it, dude, they're wrong. They're wrong. Just like smoking cigarettes is not wise to do. Right? You know this. I mean, people even smoke this. You know, I'd quit. But I just can't. Right? How many of that has that happened? Right? And then you find out you get cancer. Lord, I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this happened. And then you'll hear somebody that gets cancer that didn't smoke, and you'll go, see? Yeah, you can get cancer if you don't smoke. I get it. All right. Just because you smoke don't mean you're going to get cancer, maybe. But is it wise? Is it wise? No. It's like overeating isn't wise. Amen. Right? I don't know why I got heart problems. Fried chicken. You don't just get the $5 fill-up, you get the bucket. There's a reason why you got your arteries clogged up. Alcohol. Should I even go there? I mean, I don't know. I mean, why should I even go there? Oh, is it a sin to drink alcohol? Let's just ask this. Is it wise? Is it wise? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29 says, Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Those who go to try mixed wine. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart utter perverse things. You'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. Now, I know I'm not hip. We kind of have a modern church feel, but we're not a typical modern church. Because a modern church, it's cool for the pastors to encourage drinking. But we're not a modern church. We're a church of trying to engage our culture, but I still got a lot of old-fashioned biblical values. That never goes out of style. Now, here's the deal. The question is this. Why? Why do you need it? Why do you need it? We tell our teenagers, stay away from it. Stay away from it. Why? Because it'll help you make a lot of dumb decisions. Can I get a witness? It'll help. Okay? And here's what happens. As a pastor, here's what I see. You might not see it all, okay? You might not see it all because it might not have a stronghold on you, but it gets a stronghold of some people. And here's what I see. I go to the jails and I visit people because of alcohol or drugs. I get phone calls from wives who has been physically abused because of either alcohol or drugs. I have to deal with children who do not have a father now because of alcohol or drugs. You ask a sheriff, you ask anybody in the police force, anytime there's a domestic violence case going on, it usually has to do with either alcohol or drugs. It never has to do with a family devotion night. They never get a phone call saying, "I don't know, we were praying and we were reading the Word of God and all of a sudden he hit me." And I'm not taking domestic violence lightly. I'm trying to prove a point. That when you're walking on the right path and you're walking in wisdom and you're doing the things that God would want you to do, it is a smooth path. It's a blessed path. It's a path where you're not going to stumble. How many people have regrets because of something they did? Because of something they drank or something they smoked or something or a place they were at. Amen. Just use wisdom. Wisdom walks in productivity. We work. We produce. We're givers, not takers. We're producers, not consumers. Teach your kids to give more than what they take. Walk in integrity. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Be honest in all your dealings. Be straightforward and forthcoming. Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat. But walk with encouragement. Use your words to lift up people, encourage people, put them on the right path, give them wisdom, guide them, help them, and steward well. Steward well. When we do money the way God says to do money, we'll be blessed. When we do it the way the world says to do it, we'll be bankrupt and in debt, which is not fun. Bottom line, it comes to this. You know, I'm sitting here thinking as a pastor, and I see most of you every week, some of you on Wednesdays, and then I think, you know, what is it that we really want to get at, right? Because we only get one life to live. And we want to live it well. We want to live it on a right path. I don't think anybody starts off, you know, we got some educators in here, you know. You think about this. Kindergartners, they have this career day, right? And yes, these little kindergartner kids, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? Some of you did this, you know. What do you want to be when you grow up? And they took a little picture of you, whatever, you know. I want to be a professional golfer. That didn't work out, but oh well. What do you want to be? And they all say stuff like, I want to be a professional athlete. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a police officer. I want to be a, you know, they have all these things that they want to be. And not one of those kids ever say, I want to be a drug addict. Or I want to be an abuser. Not one of them ever says that. And we start off with all these high hopes and high ambitions, these high dreams, and for some reason, something happens. Voices start getting in our head. Temptations come our way. Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, stops robbing us of our hopes and dreams. And he speaks lies, and he says, you're a loser, you're no good, you'll never make it, you might as well give up, you're pathetic. That's not the path that God wants for us. And we veer off into a wrong path. And Satan has us. Man, at the end of the day, parents, as a pastor, what I want you to love your spouse. To love your spouse. Wives, love your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Enjoy one another. They're not your enemy. You shouldn't be fighting with one another. You love one another. Go out on a date. Enjoy the time that you have with them, because you know what? One day you're not going to have them. There may be a day when you have to sit at the graveside of the one you love and they're gone. So enjoy the time you have with them. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy your kids. Love your kids. Embrace your kids. Teach your kids. Pray over your kids. If you've got small children, don't miss the opportunity, Mom, Dad, to put that cover over top of them, kiss them on their forehead, pray over them, and say, I love you. Go to their ball games and have fun and cheer, but just don't be crazy, you know. But to enjoy those moments and celebrate what they're good at. If they're good at baseball, then man, get them in baseball. If they're good at orchestra, get them in orchestra. If they're good, whatever they're good at, man, celebrate that and go to those events. Don't miss those events, because one day you're not going to have them. Got grandkids? Oh, man, eat them up. Love on those grandkids. Pray for those grandkids. Be it there for those grandkids. Encourage those grandkids. Go to work and enjoy it. For real, don't live a life of misery. Go to your work and have a whole new perspective. And don't get caught up in what you do. Don't let what you do identify who you are. Right? I'm pastor of Living Water Church. Well, if I die, guess what? Y'all get another pastor. If you die, guess what? Within a week, you're replaced. So don't get all stressed out, crazy, and forget about the people that's around you. Don't forget about that you're working with people that you're trying to bless and help. And you're a part of their life and they're a part of your life. Why? Because you live in the same community. Mount Sterling, Kentucky, Powell County, Bath County. We're one big little small group. We're not this big, huge mega city with millions of people. We see each other at Kroger's, at Walmart, at the games, at the ball fields. We're doing life together. Don't get so busy you miss life. Walk in wisdom. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love people around you. Embrace your family. Encourage and live. Live a life that brings glory to God, good to others, and joy to your own soul. Yeah, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.